Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles, open them to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. You learn a lot about a church by the way it sings. And I think you were singing on that, were you not? I think you were singing. I'm gonna come up here and watch one day. I want to see who's singing. No, but it sounds to me like that you were lifting your voices to the Lord. You learn a lot about a church. Singing is a part of the Christian faith, and it's one of the only religions in the world that has a singing faith. It's such a joy, you can't help it. You just want to sing. Now, I don't care what they're singing up here, it's just a joy to be a part of it and to lift your voice. We have all kinds of people at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single. Some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids. Some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching online are believers, but not all. But we are all here today, and we're all watching today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to make disciples, share Jesus, make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. What if you are not sure that you will endure to the end? Our text last week made it unmistakably clear that if we do not persevere, then we were not truly saved. It talks about that. In other words, it says, if indeed, look at verse 14 of chapter 3, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now, that doesn't mean that you make a decision, then you have to work at it, because if you are saved, that all of a sudden you have to stay working at it in order to make sure that you're saved, to persevere to the end. No, what it's saying is that if you are truly saved, you will persevere. God has nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, and so it's a validation of that. But here's the thing: what if we say we have faith, but we really don't make it to the end? Then we need to make sure we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In other words, you may have made some type of a profession, but making it to the end is really the proof that we are a true believer in Christ. So there's a sense that you can miss the rest that we talked about last week. There's a sense that you can miss the rest that we talked about in this text of Scripture, and that's exactly what happened in the Old Testament in the Exodus. Now, I want you to take your Bibles. I know you've got it there in Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to go back to Matthew 11. So hold your place in Hebrews chapter 4. That's our main text. Go back to Matthew chapter 11, and I've got to find it just like you. I didn't have it marked. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said this: come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. By the way, that word easy means beneficial. We think, boy, if I get in the yoke with Jesus, man, he's going to be so tough. He's going to be so hard on me. You know, if I was to get saved, the Lord may send me somewhere I don't want to go. Hey, let me tell you this. you're going to end up going somewhere, and if you go where the Lord wants you to go, you're going to be glad about it. You will be benefited. That's what he means by my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In light of all that the devil offers you and the world offers you, you will be much better off if you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, I will give you rest. This word rest in the Bible has really got me kind of looking at it. I mean, it's not an easy understanding. Of course, the book of Hebrews, I was telling Steve before church today, this is a difficult section of Scripture. It's an exciting section of Scripture. You remember the book of Hebrews written to these first century Hebrew Christians, Hebrews that had made a initial decision to follow Jesus and to lay aside Judaism, and yet they got out there and realized how difficult it is, and they were tempted to turn back. They were tempted to say, wait a minute, I'm not sure about this. I want to go back to the old way, the old sacrificial system with the priests and everything all like that. And that's why in our next section, we're going to look at Jesus as our high priest. He's the ultimate priest. The ultimate high priest is the Lord Jesus himself. So, but when we look at this passage of Scripture, we talk about the rest of the Lord. I want you to think about it this way. Rest has several aspects. It's like salvation. You know, I've told you all this a lot of times, and I've tried to learn it and understand it myself, but salvation is in tenses. It's past, present, and future. Rest, in some ways, is that way. It's got other flavors. It's like Baskin-Robbins. You lick it, and you may lick vanilla. Now, why would anybody ever waste time on vanilla ice cream? I mean, you know, when you have flavor in it, right? Well, I guess you do have flavor in vanilla. With apple pie, that's the way to go. But Baskin-Robbins has 33 flavors. Well, salvation definitely has three tenses or three flavors. And the word rest, as we think about it in our text here, kind of has that same idea. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, you think about it for the unbeliever. In Romans chapter 5, I'm going to just look at that. Romans 5, 1. Let me find that. Romans 5, 1 says this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be justified by faith is to have peace with God. So that is one type of peace. Peace with God. It's like salvation, all right? And in some ways, rest is that way. When we give our lives to Jesus, we find rest, all right? But then if you look at Philippians, the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. So before, in salvation, we have peace with God. Now how do we do that? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have peace. Jesus said, No man comes to the Father but by me. So you do not have peace with God without Jesus Christ, okay? So you have to have Jesus Christ to have peace with God. But here, in our anxious moments, don't be anxious about anything or worry about anything. But if we'll give it to God in prayer, we have the peace, not with God, but the peace of God. All right, that's another flavor. That's another lick. Man, it tastes good too, doesn't it? Peace with God. Woo. The peace of God. Woo. That's another lick. That's another kind of peace. And in some ways, our passages in Hebrews are dealing with different kinds of rest. Ultimate rest, there's another part of it. Now, if you look at Revelation, go to Revelation chapter 14. This is pretty neat here. This is another flavor of peace. Another flavor of rest, all right? Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Revelation 14, 13 says this, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest. See that word? That they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. There is a sense, and we're going to look at it back in Genesis, there is a rest that the Lord started. The ultimate rest is the rest that we'll get when we get to heaven. Sometimes this world is not restful right now. Now, we have rest in salvation. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have peace with God. But sometimes you don't have the peace of God if you're anxious and you're going through different things. You don't have that rest. You don't have that peace that comes. But ultimately, here's another lick, you get that peace, that ultimate rest, that ultimate peace where we're in heaven. And the scripture says we get a new body. That's when this old flesh gets redeemed. Right now, inside, you are right with the Lord Jesus Christ if you know him, but your old flesh has not been sanctified. It's not been glorified yet. That's called glorification, okay? And it begins to slow down. The Bible says that outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed. And so outwardly we're wasting away, but one day we'll get a new body. So salvation, the third lick, is ultimate physical salvation. Is that making sense? Shake your head. Okay. So in some ways, this rest is that way. Now, Augustine said this. He says, our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. So the great search of everyone is for salvation in Jesus Christ. So with that, I want us to read our text. This is 13 verses in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read it from my copy of God's Word. You follow along in yours. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of eternal, of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Talking about those in the Exodus. And the us is the people in the first century. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, and this is Psalm 95, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. This text has been quoted many times in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are naked and open before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Today's message is look to Jesus. He gives you rest. And I believe there's a flavor I believe there's a lick for all of us today. There's a lick for the unbeliever. There's a message for the unbeliever. We are to be careful because we learned in chapter 3, if you are converted, you will endure. You will persevere to the end. But there's also a warning for believers to enter into victory in Jesus Christ if we have faith in the Lord and trust in Him in His truth. So look to Jesus. He gives you rest. Now, there are three main themes in this text that I want you to get. Here's the first one. You have today, verses 1 through 10. In verse 1, it says this, Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear. Okay? In some verses, it says, let us be careful. I think that's a little bit too weak. There's a sense of fear. There's an urgency. Don't sit around and wonder whether or not you have received His rest or not. And if you are a believer in Christ, don't sit around and think, you know, hey, I can just go on and lackadaisical look at this victory that the Lord wants me to have. He's been speaking to me about obedience, and yet I'm just going to be lackadaisical about it. No, you know what you have? You have today. The Scripture says today is the day of salvation. If you're lost without Christ, you have today. I don't know if you're going to have tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to have tomorrow. But you know what we have right now? We have this moment right now. Here we are, right here all together. Raise your hand if you're here. Look at this. You guys are amazing. All right? But you do have today. And then it says this in verse 1. It says, a promise remains. We have today. Since a promise remains for entering His rest. The promise still stands. He that believes upon Christ, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You say, I'm not sure that I really know Jesus in a personal way. I'm not sure that I have received Christ. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. But I want you to know the promise is for today. You have today. And so he says, the promise remains. That word promise is used in Hebrews more than any other book in the New Testament. It's a book about the promise of God. If we will put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, that is so important. Now, we find also in verses 6 through 8, we see that the promise remains. Look, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, there are others that are going to come. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. They did not enter into the rest, the rest the Lord talked about. Why? Because they disobeyed. They disobeyed. Verse 7, and again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And so therefore, even though that was offered to the Israelites coming out of Egypt, they came out, and only Joshua and Caleb went into that land of that first generation because the other ones didn't believe. They didn't trust in what God had said. He said, you can go in there. And you remember they took 12 spies, they went into the land, and Joshua and Caleb, I love those two names, by the way, Joshua and Caleb, because they had faith. They said, Lord, we can take it. We can take that mountain. As a matter of fact, later in life, Caleb said, I want that mountain. The mountain that the Lord has given me. In other words, I'm going to believe God. Well, the others didn't. But then he says in David in Psalm 95, this was 500 plus years later, maybe longer than when the Israelites came out of Egypt. David wrote in a psalm, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So the point is, you have today, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know your spiritual background. I don't know if you maybe we have a guest here. I don't know what you've been thinking about your own salvation, but I can tell you this right now. You have today. You have today. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. You have today to put your faith and your trust in Christ. In verse 1, it says, we have today. It says, since you have the promise that remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem, that means to be judged, any of you will be judged to have come short of it. You may come short of it. You may have the promise and you may have it available, but you have not believed. Now, some things about this first point I just want to point out to you. The people had the truth. the gospel was preached. In verse 2 it says, for indeed the gospel, and really we think of the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The word gospel means good news. So the good news to those coming out of Egypt was, hey, the Lord has a promised land for you, and you are to believe him and come out of Egypt and go into the promised land. That was their good news. All right? We have been preached there is good news. The people had the truth. And folks, the people out here need the truth right now. We must preach the gospel. We must tell people about Jesus Christ. All around Gainesville, all in the state of Florida, we must make sure people know about the Lord Jesus Christ. These people, they had the truth. And it says in verse 1, lest any of you seem or to be judged to have come short of it. Do you know that in 1 John chapter 2:19, there's a very grave passage of scripture. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, it says this, they went out from us, listen, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. That's that perseverance concept. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. You say, well, I know I hadn't really been faithful to Jesus any of my life, but I made a decision when I was a little child. Well, here's the point. If you're not of us, if you're not with us, then the scripture says it could be that you never really were of us. You see, faith is, belief in Jesus is a loaded word theologically. When I learned to share my faith, I learned an illustration about intellectual assent. The difference between an intellectual assent and truly believing in Jesus. It's like this illustration. If I was to ask you, do you believe in George Washington, what would you say? Yes, I do. I do believe in George Washington. If I said, do you believe in Abraham Lincoln, what would you say? Yes, I believe in Abraham Lincoln. And then if I asked you this question, how is your belief in George Washington changing your life right now? You'd say, well, it's really not. I mean, whether he did what he did, if I didn't believe in him, it wouldn't make any difference the way I'm living. I do believe he was a person of history. And see, folks, many people have intellectual assent toward Jesus. They believe Jesus really lived. He was a person. But if I asked you, how is your belief in Jesus changing your life right now? They would say, you know, I'm really no different. I'm really no different. Well, that's not intellectual. Intellectual faith does not get us to heaven. Only saving faith. And it's trusting in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. So the word belief in the scripture is a loaded word theologically. So these people, they had the truth. Now, the second thing about that you have today is that unbelief stops them from rest. In verses 2 through 6, that is pointed out. The word which they heard did not profit them, in verse 2 it says. And what was the reason? Because it was not mixed with faith. It says at the end of verse 2, not being mixed with faith. The word faith is used 32 times in the book of Hebrews. There's a lot in this book of the Bible about faith. They didn't mix it with faith. Listen, you can be preached to all your life. There was a time when I went to a Christian school when I was a little fella, and I went to a Christian school and we had chapel. I don't remember if it was every day. It felt like every day, but I don't know that it really was. It might have been once a week, but it felt like every day. And they got up and preached. Well, if you hear the gospel, that's wonderful. But you have to have faith to believe. You have to believe in Jesus Christ and turn over your will to Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and trust him. And so the truth of the matter is unbelief is what stops them from rest. Okay? It's not mixed with faith. It says in verse 3, It says this. It says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. So what do you have to do to enter that rest? You have to believe. So to make it to the end, to persevere to the end, you're going to enter that rest, and the reason you're going to enter that rest is because you have believed. And that is that pregnant word. It is that loaded word in the Scripture to believe. John said it this way, these things I have written to you that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. That kind of belief that is real, that makes a difference in your life. And so the Scripture makes it clear, unbelief is what stopped them from having that rest. So, number one, the people had, they had the truth of the good news. The second thing was that unbelief stopped them from the rest. Here's the third thing, you should make this a priority. Because in verse 7 it says this, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said. You should make this a priority. I wouldn't go to lunch. I wouldn't talk to another person. I would not write a letter. I would not do my homework. I would not talk to another soul until I knew that I had the rest of God, that Jesus Christ had changed my life, that Jesus Christ had come into my life. You should make this a priority. He says in the very beginning, he said, let us fear. This is serious. Because we do have today. Make it a priority. And you're the only one that can deal with it. I heard the story of a young man that was going to be a missionary. This is a story that I read. He was going to be a missionary. And the only thing that discouraged him was that his sweetheart that he had fallen in love with for many years didn't want to go on the mission field. And so she said, if you accept that appointment to go to the mission field, I'm not going. They were not married, and he wanted them to be married, and he wanted her to go with him. And so she said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. Well, one month before he was to go, he wrote her a letter. And he said, I know you've already told me you're not going. He said, but I want to write one more time. He said, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know that I want you to go with me. We can serve the Lord together. And he wrote her this letter. And then he wrote a postscript at the end. P.S. He said, I know this may infuriate you. And if it does, just take the letter and throw it in the trash. Well, the girl got the letter, and the girl had a change of heart. And so she wrote him a letter about how she'd really thought about it, and she realized she loved him, and she'd wanted to go on the mission field with him and all of that. So she wrote this letter to send to him, and she went to the post office, and she was about to go to the post office, and it was raining really hard. And so she found her brother, and she said, look, I will pay you. Go get this postmark and drop it in the mail for me today, and I'll pay you. And so she did. She paid him and everything. Well, she never heard from him. And 1 month later, he left and went on the mission field. Years later, when they moved, she was moving an old coat out of a closet, and in the pocket of that coat, her brother's coat, was that letter. It never went to that young man. She missed that opportunity because she didn't take it serious enough to make sure that he got that message. I think there is a priority about this right here. Nobody can settle this for you. Listen to me. Nobody can settle this for you. The devil whispers in your ear. He says, hey, listen, what would people think if I needed to be saved? What would people think if I was needing to obey the Lord, even as a believer, to do what God wants me to do? And the devil whispers in your ear that there might be embarrassment or something like that. Listen, can I tell you this? Nobody can handle this but you. You've got to do business with Jesus. Can I tell you this? Take the whole world, but give me Jesus, the song said. If you lay your head on the pillow at night, it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. You know in your heart you're right with Jesus Christ. The greatest feeling in the world, the greatest freedom in the world is to know that Jesus and you are right with one another. That's what you've got to do. And you're the only one that can do that. So you've got to realize that you have today is what the scripture is telling us. You should make this a priority. And then the last thing about today is we realize that our rest today is spiritual and it is eternal. We've talked about that. It's rest for the people of God. As a matter of fact, in verse 9, look at this verse. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. In verse 9. That word rest is a different word. It's the only time that word is used. It's a different word for rest. And that it gives us the idea this is a heavenly rest. It's like that verse in Revelation that I read to you a moment ago in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. That's another lick of rest. It's another flavor of rest. All right? We look forward to that ultimate rest in verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. So we enter into that rest and we ultimately rest. As a matter of fact, just go back to, I want you to see this in Genesis. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, all the way at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Genesis 2:2. This is where the ultimate rest originated. After the Lord had created all of the earth in 6 days, it says this, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he has done. The Lord, that's called, many of the scholars call that Sabbath rest. That's after the Lord created the world, he rested. And there's a sense in which the flavors of the peace of God and the flavors of the rest of God, this is the ultimate rest when we make it to heaven. So how do you get that rest? Well, you get it by believing. I've been talking about believing, taking a personal responsibility. There was a man named Charles Blunden. I think I've told you this before. Charles Blunden, at his time, he was born in 1824, died in 1897. He was the greatest tightrope walker of his day. He came to the United States from Europe, and he stretched an 1,100-foot rope across Niagara Falls. And man, the crowds came. They said there was thousands of people that came. And he had one of those sticks. Okay, I would need more than a stick. I can promise you. He had one of those sticks, and so he's on that tightrope, and he stretched it across Niagara Falls. Well, the crowd came, and boy, when he walked to the Canadian side, the people on the other side just cheered. And he said, how many of you believe that I can take a wheelbarrow across that rope? And so, man, they cheered. We believe you can do that. And so he took that wheelbarrow, and he went out on that wheelbarrow. I think he went out on a unicycle even, did some other things. But he went across there several times, all the way across that tightrope. He got to one side, he said, how many of you believe that I could put a man in that wheelbarrow? Well, man, the people were like in a frenzy at that point. They wanted to see something happen, and they said, we believe you can do it, Blunden. We believe. And there was one man cheering super loud. I believe you can do it. He looked him dead in the eye, and he said, get in the wheelbarrow. Now, that's belief. The man refused. The man refused. Belief in Jesus is the kind of belief that says, I'm in Jesus forever. I really believe this. I'm going to put my whole faith and trust in you. I'm going to get in the wheelbarrow. John 20, 31. John told us that the reason why he wrote the Gospel of John. He said, these things I have written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May I say this? And by believing you may have rest in his name. And by believing you may have peace in his name. And so we see that you have today. Now, quickly, the second thing in our main 3 points. The first one was, you have today. I don't know about tomorrow, but you have today. The second one is this: you have the Word. You have the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active. If you look at our text here in verse 11, it says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest." Let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner." The word discerner means a judge. It is the judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be diligent, because the Word of God is living, is powerful or active. It's working. The Holy Spirit of God is working. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is not a sword like we think of a sword. This word in the Greek language is for like a little dagger. It's a place that can penetrate. It's a item that can penetrate and really divide up things. It's not a pretty picture, okay? And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word judges our motives. It's the only thing that can. The Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. For an unbeliever today, it's God's Word that brings conviction. It's the law of the Lord that brings a knowledge that you need Jesus Christ. It's the law of the Lord that's living and active, doing surgery on our lives in order to show us our motives deep down inside that we need Jesus Christ. Folks, it's not religion. You can't try hard enough to have a rest. You have to have the rest that comes from the Lord, and God's Word is what will reveal that to you. If you're a believer in Christ and God is wanting you to move into to Canaan rest, to have victory in your life, the only way you can do that is by the Word of God. God's Word is living and active. It tells you ways to make adjustments. The book of James talks about the Word of God being a mirror. This morning I looked in the mirror. How did I do? How did I do? I looked in the mirror. There's been days I've went out and I didn't look in the mirror. And Kelly will say, "You didn't look in the mirror, did you?" Okay, why do we look in a mirror? We look in a mirror to make adjustments. We look in there to make adjustments. Give me some of that mousse, you know. We look in the mirror to make adjustments. And to the believer, God's Word is making adjustments. If you never make adjustments, then you're not going to enter into victory. You're not going to enter into the rest the Lord wants us to have in this life. Because the Holy Spirit is always speaking to the believer, saying, "Hey, you need to change this. Hey, you need to say this. Hey, you need to speak to this person." Christianity is a life of movement. It's a life of change and transformation. And so for the believer, we have the Word of God as well. It judges our motives. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So Jesus gives rest. Well, you have today to get that rest. You have the Word of God that helps you with that rest, to attain that rest. The Word of God, James says that he's chiding the people he's writing, and he's telling them, you're like someone who looks in a mirror and never makes an adjustment. That doesn't make any sense. So here's the third thing. Not only do you have today, not only do you have the Word, but can I tell you this? You have no escape. Can I say this? Can I get in the boat with you? I have no escape. The Bible says, "Is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." You know, there's judgment for the lost man. The Bible calls that in the book of Revelation the great white throne judgment. It's when those that are without Jesus Christ come before him, and I don't know how it's going to be done, but the Bible makes it clear that there'll be no excuse. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, it talks about that the person argues, but and the statement is made, stop. In other words, it's like, hush. You have no recourse. You have no argument that can be made. Because, but Lord, I did this. But Lord, I went to church. But Lord, I did this. But Lord, I went to church. And you know that passage where the Bible says that we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Do we not do all these miracles in your name? And the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. Folks, this needs to be a priority for the non-believer. For the person that is not sure, you need to, you're the one that has to take responsibility of it. You need to know whether or not you have Jesus Christ and you have entered into his rest. For the believer, you need to know that you have you're walking in obedience to the Word of God, and you're looking in that mirror and making adjustments. So there's a flavor of this for the non-Christian, and there's a flavor of this for the believer. And so you have no escape. Look at verse 13. It says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. We used to tell our children the scripture that says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch over the evil and the good. My friend Stanley, my friend Carlton's right here too. They didn't see me all week. Can I tell you this? I live with this sweet girl over here. I'm not talking about Chris, okay? I'm talking about Kelly, okay? I live with this sweet woman over here. She saw a lot of what I did, but she didn't see everything. But I have no escape from the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch over the evil and the good. And I have no escape. By the way, there is a judgment. There is a judgment for believers. It's called the Bema Seat of Christ. Maybe we can study that. And it talks about we will be judged of the works that we have done, as to what sort they were. In other words, were they of the flesh or were they of the spirit? Did we do what we did for the Lord for glory for ourselves, or did we do them truly for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and for him to be magnified? And so we have no escape. Folks, we will stand before our Lord. Now thank the Lord that those that are in Christ Jesus, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you this? I'm not getting what I deserve. Aren't you glad? And by the way, I'm glad you're not my judge too. Some of y'all are just mean. I mean, you'd hurt me, you know. But aren't you grateful for the mercy of God? So, for the believer, our judgment is about our works. But the bottom line is there is no escape. And the Bible says there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must give an account. That word naked and open is interesting. That is, we get the word trachea. It's about the throat. I don't know, maybe some of your versions that are more modern may have something in there about the throat. This word is used in wrestling. You ever do any wrestling? Okay. I was going to come down here and get a hold of Robert. I actually was thinking about coming down and getting a hold of Stanley Osteen. I said, I'm not going that way. I may go over here. But listen, the truth of the matter is this is the picture of a person. This is a picture of a person that puts a hold on a guy's throat. Do you know that? Have you ever seen those guys wrestle and they get a guy in a hold and they get him and I've been watching some of these online, by the way. They get him in a hold and they tap out. Man, the referee comes in there and grabs that guy that's on top and throws him off. Why? Because he's going to kill him. This is the picture. The picture is of a wrestler who has a guy by the throat. Can I tell you this? Our life is open before the Lord. Our throat is exposed is really what it's saying. The other way this word is used is related to the slaughter of an animal. When they take you go like this and they expose all of this right here. By the way, this right here is pretty hard. If I hit it long enough, I may be in trouble. But it's pretty hard. But I tell you one thing, don't do it right now. Don't do it in here. Like they say, don't do this at home. But you start banging around in here, this is really soft. So if you're a fighter, man, you're down, you ever notice they're down like this? You don't expose. This is very, you're vulnerable. Well, the Bible's saying to us, we have no escape. Can I tell you this? You may guard it from everybody in your life, but you will be vulnerable before God Almighty. And that's what he's basically saying. You have no escape. So where do you stand with the Lord? As a believer, following Christ, obedient, entering into his rest. As a non-believer, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I'll never forget a young girl in our church. Everybody, she was very faithful to the activities and all these things. She was, but she was struggling. And one service, she came forward as a high school student. She said, "I need to be saved." We said, "Betsy, you need to be saved. We thought you were a Christian." She said, "I need to be saved." She said, "I've really never put my faith and trust in Christ." And so she gave her life to Christ. Later on, she told me, she said, "Pastor Callen," she said, "it sure is a lot easier to live for the Lord when you really know the Lord." Some of us are so busy in the things of the Lord, and it's a burden. Because, truthfully, we've not mixed our faith. We've not believed. We've not gotten in the wheelbarrow. Okay? And as a believer, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not having victory because you have not taken the Word of God that's living and active and made adjustments to help you enter into that Canaan rest of victory. Because ultimately, we'll have the ultimate rest, and that is when we get a new body. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.